What up, y'all? This is Panda AOD.
And Gem City Nate.
Gem City Nate. And you are listening to
Baycast. Hey.
Hey, Bay.
Hey.
Hey, Bay.
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 All right.
So today, y'all, we want to talk about, like, me and Nate were talking earlier, and we want to take you on a journey through the process of our engagement since we started.
Oh,
don't be acting surprised. Just stick with me.
Oh, hold on.
So we started dating, and you guys all know that story by now. And if you want to listen to the previous episodes to get a little bit more insight, you can go to our podcast on the actual streaming platform. So if you go to Apple, Spotify, or any of those, you'll find our previous episodes, I believe. But what we want to do is we want to take you guys along the journey of this engagement, because I never knew it was so much involved in planning for a freaking wedding.
So you just going to be keep talking about journeys.
Let me first of all point out, ladies. Okay, so I want to first start off by saying, when a guy decides to propose, when you are proposed to, it is a like shifting experience. It's like a ground shifting experience, because with Nate, we already had such a good relationship. But when he did that, I was like, bruh, like I was stuck, because like, of course I knew he was genuine. I knew we had a good relationship. But then for this man to be like, I want to marry you, like I want to spend the rest of my life with you. That was crazy. Let me just say that.
Yep. Yep.
And so that was real special. But after that, listen, y'all better be ready. Because once they put the ring on it, they leave everything up to you after that point.
Oh, no. Now you to own some other.
The planning is all on your shoulders. Like, I know one thing I thought about through the whole thing, like once he proposed, was like, all right, let me be cognizant of including him, because I don't want him to feel like I'm just going and trying to make decisions without him. Listen. It's like, I gotta pull an arm, pull a leg, pull an ear.
No.
For him to help me.
No, that's false.
Other than view the venues, he does go view the venues.
Whatever, man. The hard part for me was already done. I done picked out the ring solo dolo. I had to keep myself afloat, making sure that I ain't faint in the daggone store. They ain't even offer me no damn water. And then I had to drive up here. And then I had to actually do the action and the notion of giving you our ring.
My ring.
No, our ring.
My ring.
You keep telling folks how, oh, my wedding. No, it's our ring.
It's our wedding, too.
Our wedding, our wedding,
Howard.
Our ring.
Our.
You heard what I said. Our ring.
But boop. Yeah, so. Mm. Now where we are is we are locking in the final details with the venue. And other than that, we just have to find some other key pieces and then we'll go from there. But I got like the decor locked down, like my ideas for it. And I sent it to the necessary people. As long as we lock that date in, and then we'll do like the arrangements for the people that we need to do them for. It'll be all good. I'm excited about that. I'm ready to get that planning. I also didn't know that there's like four parties that come along with getting married.
Four parties.
So there's the engagement party, which is for both of us to celebrate the actual engagement.
Are you talking about actual events?
I'm yes.
You're talking about groups of people.
No. Events. So there's the engagement party. Mm. There's the bridal shower.
Okay.
Then there's the bachelorette and the bachelor parties.
Bachelor ain't really a party. It's a get together, y'all. It's all about you.
Like no, everybody the would bachelorette say that the party is a get together too.
You get all these parties. You get all the parties plus the grand finale of the wedding.
The engagement party is for both of us. The only additional party the bride gets other than the groom is the shower. The
what's happening shower. At the engagement party?
The engagement party is to celebrate your engagement with your friends. The bridal shower is more like focusing on the bride specifically, and it's more for like the elder women around her, like for women of wisdom and like women to give her, you know, their blessings and to talk and kiki about what it means to be married.
Kiki and all. Oh, okay.
So it's nice. I don't know. I was like, when I was talking to Sierra about it, I was very hesitant about having all of those parties. So I was like, what's the point? But as you get to, but as you get to planning, you realize there's a point for each of them. Like, so my birthday party was like a kind of engagement celebration too, but it wasn't our celebration.
Yeah, no, it was your birthday.
Right. And it felt like my birthday, but it also was like that congratulatory moment, but it wasn't our moment. So that's the engagement party, which, and that happens the year of the proposal, because everything else happens the year of the marriage. So technically, if somebody got engaged and was engaged for a couple years, then they never have the bridal shower and the bachelorette and bachelor party until the marriage.
Okay.
So, because we know we want to get married next year, the engagement happens this year, the party, and then next year, all those other parties happen.
So, what you're trying to say is you want to have the engagement party soon?
Not soon.
No, it's soon. It's soon. Whenever you do that, it's soon.
What I'm thinking is the same date we get for the wedding this year.
Why?
Because then, exactly a year from that, we'll be getting married. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But we can talk about it. I'm open.
Yeah. Okay.
So now let's talk about the things that kind of come up after. Like now, because one thing about Nate is prior to the proposal, it was also like pulling teeth to get you to talk about anything like about commitment.
No, it wasn't pulling teeth. It was just the moments you choose to pick. Like, we'll be deep in a show of, say, This Is Us or something. And then you'll look at me and you'll be like, say something sweet. I'm like, babe, I'm in the middle of the show. Like, I'm focused on the show. Not to say I wouldn't say nothing sweet, but you just expect somebody to say something.
No, not even to say some sweet moments. I'm talking about the moments of talking about, like, if we could see each other with each other, having kids, like, all the deep, juicy stuff.
Hold on, nah. Before, what did you say? Oh no, nah. Like, well, you ain't doing that. We ain't doing that until we get married. Like, okay, well, there was some things I was saving until we got to that point. So you wasn't giving it all. I wasn't giving it all.
But just because we saying we're not gonna have kids until we're married, we're not gonna do X, Y, and Z until we're married, doesn't mean you can't have the necessary conversation.
We did have a conversation.
I once know, or but twice. It was like pulling teeth.
No, it was not no pulling teeth.
Once I or twice, like, in 3 years.
No. I'm like, okay, we ain't gonna have no kids anytime soon, so what's the point? I'm like, all right, well, the main topic of with kids be like, oh, what's the name? Oh, what do you want, a boy? You want a girl? That's it.
Well, I think the thing for me was like, as women, and it might not be all women, and it might be some men, because it's always different with each relationship, but for me, it's just nice to talk about those things. Like, it doesn't have to happen tomorrow.
I think, I ain't gonna say women, but I know in particular, individuals like to talk about things that haven't happened yet. You love to talk about things that haven't happened yet and gets the gears going. But it gets the gears going for no reason at the moment, because I'm like, okay, what's the point?
You never talk about,
like, what's what I want to know is, will be what's for dinner or something. Like, that's what I would like to know in the moment. Because that's relevant to us at that time. You talking about a kid that ain't going to be born in another several years. I'm more concerned about my stomach right
now. No, but it also is good. I don't think it has to be talked about all the time.
Yeah, not all the time, but...
But it's good to talk about it. Like, you can't say that.
You talk one time about it every other week.
You're exaggerating. You know you are. But anyway,
it's Wednesday. Let's talk about,
I said all of that to say that now that we're engaged, Nate, it's like a light switched on. As soon as we got engaged, he was so open to talking about these things. I'm like, for real? Like, it wasn't no gradual, like, like step into it. It was like, okay, so yeah. Like, he had all the feedback, and I'm just sitting there. My mind is still blown, and I'm just like, this is really happening.
Hey, man, you put a ring on it.
He like, the cat's out the bag. I can quit acting like I'm hard to get.
No, I wasn't acting like anything. So, who are you telling? Anyway. Why? Would you want to talk about that right now?
No.
Okay, cool.
No, we can save some stuff for us. But so just speaking on that, though, some of the things that come to mind as far as once you are engaged or when you're thinking about marriage is, I know for us, we've been discussing getting a house.
Yes.
We've been discussing, you know, just our individual journeys as far as entrepreneurship and just, you know, relying on each other to be an ear when we're having like those long days or we're having those moments. And I think we both do a good job of encouraging each other through that. Because I had a moment today.
And I didn't joke around as much because I seen it.
I know that's true. I appreciate that.
See, I'm sweet.
You are. But other than that, other decisions like, okay, if we know we want to get a house, what those time frames look like, and then thinking about, do we want to stay in Columbus? Do we want to move somewhere else?
Yeah. Now, you going to talk about that?
You can.
Man, he going to hit me up. And hit me up. You walked in the room and hit me with that. All of a sudden.
Just the fact that you say hit me up brought me to
like, Wendy's.
They had a sign in the window that said, "Hit us up, we're hiring." Like, what?
Yeah.
No, I was like, Nate, hit us up.
They got it from the culture.
It's crazy how they're marketing now, but hey, I'm not mad.
Yeah. But no, how you went in there and hit me with that, talking about, "Hey, babe, you ever think about moving to Atlanta?" And I'm like, Atlanta? Like, why are you thinking about Atlanta right now? Like, we was talking about, it was the discussion of staying in Columbus or going to Dayton, but you talking about Atlanta. And the reason, the first thing that came out your mouth was, it's money to be made in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, where'd you get that from? And you got it from, was it the VHS or not VHS, VH1 show?
Yeah. So, well, I had already been to Atlanta and it was pretty cool. I wouldn't say that I saw myself living there at that moment, but for me, I just pay attention to like shows that I watch or regions that move a certain way. Atlanta. Let me finish.
I'm going to say the Atlanta Housewives.
No. Well, yes.
Yeah.
But the thing about Atlanta is I've noticed a lot of influencers who I am inspired by, who I follow, either mention moving to Atlanta or have moved to Atlanta. And these are people who lived in LA and these are black influencers. So for me, it's like, I don't know if I want to live in Atlanta. It was just something I was throwing out there to him. But I was like, what do you think about that? Because if I'm like I pay attention to everything. And so if I'm picking up on these things on TV, but also the podcast I listen to and hearing the talk around it, and just always knowing that Atlanta has that culture, because one thing I know and that I've tried to do here in Ohio, and I know other people try, is the culture grows everything. So if Ohio could really come together and create a synergy where the scene was really the scene and there were actually like, there was a level of respect to those who are actively doing things and a level of respect to those who are, you know, just growing in their crafts, and it's a level of recognition, then I think Ohio would be what Atlanta has become. And Atlanta has been that for a minute, but now we're seeing how big it's gotten from where it was before. Like, it continues to grow and produce like all of this just goodness. And then you have isn't Tyler Perry Studios in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Yeah, like you have all of this black excellence there.
Black it's just Hollywood. Like,
why not? And like I said, I don't know where we'll end up moving, if we'll stay in Ohio or whatever, but that was just a thought I threw out there.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of folks from Ohio and from Dayton that moved to Atlanta. And I got an uncle and relatives in Atlanta. So, I don't know.
But there's also a lot of opportunity happening around us now where we are in Columbus, and we played around with the idea of going back to Dayton just because the land value and the cost of real estate and just the opportunities there. Because as we know, with every city, the more people that come there, the harder it is to get, you know, a good house at a good price or to get some land at a good price. So Dayton, unfortunately, like many cities, is finding itself in the beginning phases of gentrification, which Columbus is like actively in there and been there for a while. So I think if we got into that in Dayton a little sooner, as Black people, we could probably purchase some of our stuff and keep it in our community. So that's a thought that we had as well.
Yeah. Because one thing I always had an idea of growing up, wanting to see Dayton as one of the biggest cities in the state. But, you know, after moving here and actually going to Cincinnati and seeing their skyline and then Cleveland and their skyline and come back here, and I'm like, all right,
not man. Come back here, come back to Dayton.
Well, Dayton, yeah. So they know what I meant.
Some people really think we live in Dayton. Like some people be like, you don't live in Dayton.
No, that's what I had a few clients. Like they used to like, oh man, yeah, like just shoot down because they'll be like in it'll be south of Dayton, and I'll come down and I was like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, I gotta go back home. And he's like, oh, Dayton ain't that far. I was like, nah, I gotta go back to Columbus. Like, you drove down here from Columbus? Like, yeah, a few people asked me that. I'm like, yeah, man. Yeah. That's how committed to the grind I am. Know what I mean?
But I feel you on the fact that, like, going to coming to Columbus and actually living here and being active here. Because I came to Columbus when I was in high school, like Stivers, we would travel up for art shows and stuff. But you never really paid attention to the full surroundings. You were on the bus. You probably were, like, goofing around with your friends or taking a nap. You get up here, you go into the museum, you do whatever you have to do for art class. We go get something to eat at like a close by Wendy's or Penn Station, get back on the bus, go back to school.
Penn Station, I ain't get that. I ain't got that.
Usually they try to take us to McDonald's or Wendy's, but I remember one time, and we always, like, they would try to take us there, but people who wanted to go somewhere else, they would just give us another chaperone, we would go. But me and Marcus, one year, we went to Penn Station because nobody else wanted to go and we didn't want McDonald's. And Miss Whips let us have it coming back. She was so mad at us. She got over it, but it was just like, we weren't about to sit there and eat McDonald's.
Y'all was bougie. That's what that was.
Yeah, I guess.
No, not bougie.
Ain't we did like a McFlurry or something, but not like at that point, we were not. I'm proud of myself because I've come to find out that most of my friends were eating McDonald's like all the way through high school. I stopped eating McDonald's at like my first year in middle school, seventh grade year, I stopped eating McDonald's except for the breakfast. But not none of the lunch stuff.
So what was you proud of yourself for? Because what, did you hear something bad about McDonald's?
No, I just outgrew it. Like, and I don't, no knocks to anybody who eats McDonald's, but McDonald's to me is not, it's the epitome of fast food.
But we just had McDonald's this morning.
That's because it was a dire situation. And then we were going for breakfast. It was a dire situation. It really was. And Nate knows we do not eat McDonald's. The only McDonald's we eat is breakfast.
Yeah, but still, it's just funny. He eats
McDonald's.
I eat whatever I need to eat.
That's why he like, so we don't eat, like, you ain't eating McDonald's? Because he'll eat an actual McDonald's cheeseburger.
It's been a minute since McChicken. I had chicken. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
But in my middle school days, I would eat an actual Big Mac. I told you I was a little thick one in those days.
I had a Big Mac in a minute.
That Mac sauce was on point.
Oh, now it's all about Chick-fil-A sauce now. Can I get a number
elevation.
One? Can I get a number one?
Elevation.
No, it's my pleasure.
And Wendy's was my go-to after McDonald's, and I still have Wendy's every now and then. But my goal is to not be eating Wendy's. Like, basically, Wendy's is going to go into that category with McDonald's because I'm trying to, you know, eat clean, eat fresh.
That's when Panera comes in with
chicken. Panera's delicious.
Yeah, that chicken frittata,
chicken frittata sandwich.
It's good. I'll take that.
Yeah. But anyway, off of the food. Yeah. How do we even get to that?
The Wendy's? No.
Oh, yeah. No.
No. You was talking about...
Oh.
Miss Witch.
Going to Columbus for the art show, and then Cincinnati, same thing. We would only go for like art stuff, so we didn't pay attention. Driving down, or being in Columbus and just driving downtown and seeing the buildings and the street, just how wide it is and all of the things, I'm just like, this is a like legit big city. And then going down to Cincinnati to hang with Larissa or Chanel and being down there, it's the same thing where it's like I was driving down and just seeing the buildings and the landscape. I was like, Cincinnati dope for real. And then Cincinnati got that big old river. Columbus Riverscape is dope too. But Cincinnati, as far as like the water and their downtown, because they have like these a couple bridges. They have the Ferris wheel. They have like...
Oh, yeah, they do.
They have all of this cool stuff. And I just was like, what are we doing in Dayton? Because growing up in Dayton, Riverscape was the place.
I mean, yeah.
You would go there and be like, Riverscape is dope, like whoop-de-woo. But when you see other cities and they're downtown, you're like, what are we doing?
Yeah. We ain't building. That's what it is. But, you know, Cincinnati, it's cool. It's cool. I have a little with it because back in athletics and sports and all that and back in high school, but it's neither here or there. But yeah, they got a nice skyline. They got a nice riverscape too.
Yeah. But to keep in mind that we're not saying that to knock Dayton, because I think the reason why we've considered moving back is because we know that Dayton is in a place of, you know, cultivation and
building,
and Dayton will have those things that we mentioned. It's just now starting to be, you know, developed, and the city is starting to come out, and they're starting to support the artists and all of these other things. Dayton has always been an art city, but now they're like really putting money behind artists, and they're really, businesses are growing. So then that means there's more opportunities for our businesses.
Yeah.
Because we both have service-based businesses where we offer services to other businesses. So if the businesses are growing, then our clientele grows.
Yeah.
Which we both have clients in Dayton, so
yeah,
we're there a lot.
Yeah, I was just there today.
Yeah.
So, love Dayton.
And our families are there. Let's not forget that.
No, definitely.
But I guess to sum it all up, what we're going to have to edit this because I don't know. I had something to say.
Along the lines of what?
I was going to say, like, to sum it all up.
So to sum it all up, y'all male fiancés out there, y'all need help with the planning.
Yeah.
Cut.
Yes.
Yeah. I do.
And no, you did sit down and help with the guest list, which was nice, but that was like a given. Like, how could you not help with the guest list?
Oh my god.
We got the colors figured out. We agree on the colors.
Yeah, we talked about the color. We talked about the colors.
I got the colors together.
No, you cut them out and glued them and pasted them. We talked about the colors. Mm-hmm. We talked about the venue. Mm-hmm. We talked about the guest. Mm-hmm. We be talking.
We do. I'm not saying we don't talk. No. But you can't say I haven't been pulling your arm and your leg to get stuff. No. Get some stuff. You was like, no, do we got to talk about it now?
That's an honest question. It's an honest question. I'm thinking like, okay, well, you look at the watch. I'm like, all right, you talking about next September? It ain't even September this year.
Right, but we gotta lock. Like for instance, the venue we had to lock in immediately because
yeah, and I'm with you with that.
We gotta set the date, and then following that, if we line up everything, then that helps us be able to like handle everything gradually, so we're not like rushing. We're not overwhelmed.
Yeah, we ain't gonna be overwhelmed.
You say that so casually.
Because you only get overwhelmed if you allow yourself to get overwhelmed. It ain't nothing. Like you said, we already know what we need to knock down first, and then it's smooth sailing from there.
Okay.
Dang, that's why I ain't tripping on it.
I got you.
Follow me. I got you. I got us. I got us.
So, all in all, like, what would you say has been the most, like, from when we started dating to now, what would you say has been the most telling thing about our relationship? Like, what stood out to you the most? You know we can hear all of that, right?
The most telling thing about us, as far as what makes us work,
just in general, like, our, what about our relationship just made you go like, huh, like, in a good way? I mean, obviously, it would be a good way.
Things seem simple as far as conversation, communication, even though some things be going over, I'm going to say, both of our heads. And I really means one individual's head, but both our heads. But then we circle back and recommunicate. Oh, is that even a thing? Recommunicate?
Yeah.
We come back and rediscuss.
Yeah.
I feel like if you put re in front of anything, it sounds like a valid word. But anyway, we come back.
And reconvene.
I guess. Yes. And then we smooth it out. And then things is cool. So I feel like that was the main thing that stood out for me.
That's crazy. Because I feel like I would say the same thing. That's crazy that you said that, because I wasn't expecting you to say that. Because I say stuff like that. Like when I talk to people about our relationship, I just be like,
it's so easy.
It's so easy. Like, it's so simple. And I think it's because we just took the time. I mean, I say it all the time, but we just took the time to get to know each other and get to know ourselves before we even got to be with each other. Like, when I met you, you were so stuck in your ways with everything.
Now, hold on. Wait a minute.
You was like anything I said to you, like, you do like, I'd be like, you do such and such. You'd be like, yeah, that's what I've been doing. Ain't nothing wrong with it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Damn right. Damn right.
So that's the thing. Like, that taught me, one, I was doing a lot of searching for myself. And so I was already taking my time and being more patient. But that those instances taught me that you are not just you're not a pushover. It was like, I actually have to really understand your boundaries and learn how to, like, work within those boundaries.
Getting sleepy on me?
No, but serious. Yeah. Seriously. And so I think hopefully it was the same for me. Like, I don't think either of us were, like, you know, pushovers or, like, giving in to, like, weakness when it came to, like, disagreements or anything. It was like, all right, obviously there's an issue here. Let's discuss it. Let's, you know, find a middle ground. And neither of us really allowed ourselves to really go to bed angry.
No, yeah, you let me know.
We can be irritated, but then we, like, at least we'll laugh it off to a point where it's like, okay, like, dude, you get on my nerves. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah, we done that too. But yeah, I just, yeah, I would say that was it. And then also just the fact that, oh my, I told you, when you say sweet things, like, I said sweet things as far as, like, making sure that I want to make sure that you stay happy when I don't want to see you upset. So, I mean, once I figured that, like, when I had that feeling of making sure it's that keeping you happy, then I was like, oh, okay, maybe this is heading somewhere.
Yeah.
Man, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I would say that I could see, it became a point where I stopped, like, trying to have, like, those conversations, like, as we were getting into, like, our third year, just because I could feel it getting there eventually. Like, I just felt good. Like, I felt secure. I felt, you know, happy. I felt like you really cared. So it was just like, the only thing was I was trying to be conscious of not getting too comfortable, like not just being good with the relationship like that and not going further. So I think that was the only thing where I was like, make sure he knows that this is not a house playhouse situation.
Oh.
Because for real, other than that, it was good. Like, I have zero complaints. Like, I felt everything there.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, all right, like, the third year.
Nah, yeah, you know, year you know, three. Man, you made that ultimatum quite clear. you swear by it, saying it wasn't an ultimatum, but it clearly was an ultimatum. Like, you try to cover it up by saying, oh, but we owe it to ourselves to see how it is and see how it goes. And I'm like, girl, you just pretty much give me an ultimatum. Like, if we don't move in together, then what are we doing?
Yeah, because when we talked about that, we had been dating for a year in separate cities, seeing each other on the weekends. And I think we missed that one weekend because of a blizzard. And it was the worst. I was so sad.
Mm. But we FaceTime.
Yeah. But then after that, we lived separately in the same city for a year. So then I'm like, okay, 2 years in separate cities for one, and then in the same city in separate areas. So the way we would make sure we saw each other, though, is like, I'm still traveling to you over the weekend. You still traveling to me. We spend a lot of time on the road. And when you think about that, that's not safe. Like, not to say we both like got to where we had to go and we both be on the road a lot, but we shouldn't be on the road. I feel like in anything when it comes to traveling, like taking flights, mm-hmm. on the road, you kind of want to do it as less as possible.
You know,
because you just don't, it's with anything. Like, you can't get hurt if it's not happening. And I understand, like, you want to live your life. I'm not telling people, stay in the house. But when it's unnecessary, why do it? Like, for us, the amount of time, just for the way our relationship was going, it's like, are we going to keep traveling this far to see each other? Even though we were in the same city, we were on opposite sides of the city.
Yeah.
It's like 30 minutes to come see you.
It wasn't 30.
It was like 25.
It wasn't 30. You
it was like 25 minutes.
Because when on my GPS, when I get to going, it was 15 to 16 minutes.
That's probably because Auburn. You was going from work or something.
No, I was coming from, and the apartment was further away from where we at right now. And I was 16, 17 minutes. Lady, ma'am.
It was like 25.
Nah, it was 25 because either you must have went the wrong way or you was taking forever to leave the house. That's why it took 25 minutes.
Either way, though, it's just like, especially because you be complaining about Columbus driving all the time. That's what I'm saying. So like the amount of time we was on the road, unnecessary. And then just being like, for real, I've lived on my own for a long time. Like, I've been living on my own since I was 18.
Well, I'm sorry. That sounded like a line from a Tyler Perry movie. I live on my own for a long time.
No, but so like living on my own since I was 18, I literally only crashed with an ex for like 2 months. And it was like a hailstorm. Like a bomb had dropped in my life. And I was like, I gotta get the hell up out of here. And it wasn't a move-in situation. It was just like, oh, I'm in between leases. Let me crash. And it was the worst.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was like, I'm cool living by myself. And then I did again for a few more years. And then it's like, we got together. I think I was by myself. I lived by myself for at least 2 years after. But it's like, I've always been comfortable in it. But it's always that level of, it's like a little hint of uncomfortability or discomfort.
Uncomfortable? Is that a
word? It's like that little bit of discomfort in living by yourself just because you just feel exposed in a way. Like when I move, it's when I move. Like once I get comfortable, I'm okay, but I still have certain things I do. So like my last apartment at Auburn, when I first moved in, I wasn't friendly with any of my neighbors because I was always taught as a woman, you don't just be, you know, so friendly to everybody because they'll try to catch you slipping. Yeah. And so that's how I always moved. And it took me a while to get comfortable each time I would move. When I lived in Dublin, I didn't really know none of my neighbors and I didn't care to. Like, I would go to work. I would come home. I would invite friends over who would drive into Dublin. And that was it. Like, I never had that relationship living on my own because I didn't want to expose myself.
Yeah. Your neighbors at your second place, boy. I still remember the note they left on my daggone car.
Getting out of my car.
Nate will pull up to my place. And my place was cute, though. It was like a one bedroom, cute little quaint apartment.
Parking lot.
But it was a 12 space parking lot because it was only 12. I think it was 12. It was only 12 apartments.
I don't care how many. That parking sucked.
So Nate parked Nate parked there one day. And he got, I think the next morning, he went outside to get in his car. And that's when you were staying in Dayton still. And the neighbor left a note on his car. Said, I had hell getting out of my car. What else did they say? Or was that it?
They take their ass back in the house.
Nate read that note and was like, who the fuck?
Yeah, I was like, who the fuck is this? I wanted to go knock on every door. I wanted to knock on every door. Oh, like, yo, man, y'all better take this back.
That was so funny. But no, I did kind of regret being so secluded in that apartment because I did meet Amber Evans, who was the activist who passed away, and there's suspicion around her death. But she was really sweet, like a sweet girl. And I wish I would have hung out with her more because the way she like welcomed me and introduced herself and her sister, it was just a great, you know, experience. And then we would like greet each other, but we never like hung. And then the ones that were right next to me, although they were kind of cray cray, they were really sweet. They were like the old aunt and uncle.
I think in that the was neighborhood.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because ain't nobody else. Like, I can tell the accent just in the writing in the note. Like, I had hell. Like, if you had hell.
They probably were so mad and got out from work, got their pen and just.
I mean, I can just imagine them getting out the door and like sucking their stomach in trying. I mean, I wasn't even that close. They were crooked.
God. Oh, my God. And but, at the end of the day, like. We all parked in similar spaces. At least, like, the first year I was there, everybody had, like, kind of, like, a space. So, it probably was them because he parked right next to my car. So, they probably was like, who the fuck is this?
Whatever.
But, no, that was hilarious. But, yeah. So, I guess to sum it up, though, yeah. I feel like the best part of our relationship is the simplicity of it. And even thinking about, like, those moments of, like, us living in different cities or like where we are now, every time you went out of your way to do something, it wasn't like I had to like even ask you to do it or beg you to do it. You just did it.
Yep.
Like helping me move, bringing my couch up here, just coming to see me. Like there was no like begging or asking or like pulling your leg on those things. It was like you just did it and it was just like whatever.
A breath of fresh air.
Yes, 100%. So that's all. That's all I got today. I feel like that was a lot.
Nah, it was cool. So yeah, like I said, we're going to try to keep these rolling out for y'all. Hopefully y'all tune in, enjoy what we're talking about. Chime in the comments or whatever. Feel free. Let us know what we can touch on or what's going on with y'all. And we can try to, you know, speak on some things that resonate with y'all. And we can shoot. Get the ball rolling.
Yeah, and we will keep y'all updated on all things wedding planning.
Yeah,
because I mean, I'm just in it, so it's hard not to talk about it.
All that's gonna come. Y'all already follow us on Instagram, all the social media, so y'all gonna see it. And I am involved. Mm-hmm. Just so y'all know.
Peace,
love,
bae,
bae cats.